All right, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to read that in just a minute. I want to start over here, though. I want to start at this illustration that I have set up here this morning. Obviously, this is the cross, and this is an old altar that we pulled from our building on Fort Gratiot on North River Road. It's actually an altar that we had at the front of the platform up there, a kneeling altar that was, I don't know, it's probably 48 years old, something like that. What I'm going to show you today is this is the altar of the cross. The altar of the cross. There's a point that you have to cross over. There's a point that you have to bend your knee at the altar of the cross in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the altar of the cross is where Jesus laid down his life for us. The altar of the cross is where we discovered and we found restoration, renewal, new life, recreation. All of that happened here at the cross. All of that happens at the altar of the cross. We become new creatures at the altar of the cross. It doesn't happen, you know, after. It doesn't happen before. It happens at the altar of the cross. This is where it all took place. This is where it all takes place for us. It has to happen here. I'm going to show you today that it has to happen here, that it can't happen later and it can't happen before. It has to happen at the cross. This is where the lost are found. This is where hope is restored. This is where life is renewed. Amen. This is where we become new creations. In fact, we are to lay our lives down at the altar of the cross just as Christ laid his life down physically. We're to lay ours down spiritually right here. This is where it happens. And you can't do anything beyond this point until you deal with this right here.
That's right.
If you don't deal with this, you can't enter into all of this that God has for you. Let's just, for this point of this illustration in the sermon today, this is prior cross, before the cross, and this is after the cross over here, okay? So from the rest of this message today, as you look at the stage up here, this is pre-Jesus, post-Jesus. Pre-cross, post-cross. This is the kingdom of the world, kingdom of heaven. Everybody clear on that? There's a clear line drawn in the shadow of the cross that we have to cross over into new life. But I'm going to show you today what the Bible says about that. Okay? So I'm going to quickly get into this. And I have a couple points today, but I want to go fast because I have a lot to say and I want to get it all in, okay? So Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to read this scripture from the Passion Translation. It says, "For God," this is a scripture that I read 2 weeks ago. I'm just going to continue on. "For God in heaven unveils his holy anger, breaking forth against every form of sin." Can I stop right there and say it's not against every person?
Right.
That's good.
Yep.
Come on, say it again.
God's anger is not breaking forth toward every person. Maybe, did you hear me?
Yes.
God's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He hates the sin in your life, but he loves you. Some people think that God hates them and God is angry with them and God doesn't love them because they have sin in their life. No, God hates the sin, but he loves you. So God in heaven, he unveils his holy anger, breaking forth against every form of sin, both toward ungodliness that lives in our hearts and evil actions. For the wickedness of humanity deliberately smothers the truth and keeps people from acknowledging the truth of or about God. In reality, verse 19, in reality, the truth of God is known instinctively, for God has embedded this knowledge inside every human heart. Opposition to truth cannot be excused on the basis of ignorance.
Come on.
Wow. You know what God's saying here? I'm removing all excuses.
Yes. Come on.
Listen, the day you stand before God, The day you stand before him, there will not be excuses. Every excuse has been removed. This knowledge of truth has been embedded in your heart from the beginning of time. There's no way that you'll be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know.
That's right.
Well, I thought the word of God meant this. No. There's no way you can say that.
That's right.
He's making it clear. And then it goes on to say, because from the beginning of creation, or because of from the creation of the world, the invisible qualities of God's nature have been made visible, such as his eternal power and transcendence. He has made his wonderful attributes easily perceived. For seeing the visible makes us understand the invisible. So then, this leaves everyone without excuse. Once again, there it is.
Yes.
No excuses. Verse 21, throughout human history, the fingerprints of God were upon them, yet they refused to honor him as God or even be thankful for his kindness. The fingerprints of God are upon us. God has created us in his very image.
Yes.
In the likeness of God,
yes.
His fingerprints are upon us. Our fingerprints are his fingerprints. Can I just stop? I got to stop. I shouldn't stop. I got so much to say, but you got to get this. Remember when I was talking a couple weeks ago about every time you see a bird fly across the sky, no one in history has ever seen it like that before, and no one ever will? Is it still blowing your mind? Some people posted some pictures on Facebook every time they a picture of a bird. They're like, Pastor Bill, look, never happened before, never will happen again. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Every step that you take will never happen again. It's never happened before in history, and it'll never happen again. It's a brand new step every time you take a step. Well, have you worn these shoes before? Yeah, I've worn these shoes. Have you stood on these stages with these shoes before? No, I haven't. Actually, this is my first time with these shoes on this stage. So it's the first time with that. But even if I had worn these shoes, did I have all the other same clothes on? Remember what I said a couple weeks ago? Is my hair as long as it was then? Do I have the same number of hairs on my head? I mean, I'm different now than I was yesterday.
Right. That's good.
So think about this. If that blows your mind, think about this. Look at your hands for a second. Look at your hands. Those are God's fingerprints. Look at them. If you're like me, I need my readers to see my hands anymore. Those are God's fingerprints right there. Now, here's the thing about this. How many of you know that no two fingerprints are alike? How many of you know that? Nobody. But this is how amazing and how huge and how enormous and how big and how creative our God is. He can create each one of us with different fingerprints and they all match his. Come on. I don't know. Think on that one for a while. But let me give you some more stuff. So the fingerprints of God were upon us, yet they refused to honor him as God or even be thankful for his kindness. Instead, they entertained corrupt and foolish thoughts about what God was like. This left them with nothing but misguided hearts steeped in moral darkness. Although claiming to be super intelligent, they were in fact shallow fools. For only a fool would trade the unfading splendor of the immortal God to worship the fading image of other humans, idols made to look like people, animals, birds, or even creeping reptiles. This is why God lifted off his restraining hand and let them have full expression of their sinful and shameful desires. They were given over to moral depravity, dishonoring their bodies by sexual perversion among themselves, all because they traded the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the things that God made rather than the God who made all things. Glory and praises to him for eternity of eternities. Amen. Now, that's what I read 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to continue. That was verse 25. I'm going to continue in verse 26, but I need to make it clear. This is not the end of the thought. Glory and praises to him for eternity of eternities. Amen. Boom. End of the thought. No, this thought continues in verse 26. I want to show it to you. Put it on the screen. Put it on the screen, verse 26. For this reason, everybody say it. For this reason. What reason? Everything that was just said in the prior scriptures.
That's right.
Everything that was just said. That for this reason. That's why we know it's continuing thought.
That's right.
Okay, for this reason, listen. God gave them over to their own disgraceful and vile passions, inflamed with lust for one another. Men and women ignored the natural order and exchanged normal sexual relations for homosexuality. Women engaged in lesbian conduct, and men committed shameful acts with men, receiving in themselves the due penalty for their deviation. And because they thought it was worthless to embrace the true knowledge of God, God gave them over to a worthless mindset. Let me just stop and say, the scripture does not say God gave you a worthless mindset. It says he gave you over to a worthless mindset. God created your mind.
That's right.
And he created your mind perfectly. So he didn't give you a worthless mindset. He gave you over to a worthless mindset. The mindset that he gave you over to was a deceit of the enemy that we chose. We chose. We made a choice to step into that deceit. We chose to ignore the truth of God's word that was embedded in our hearts from day one. We chose to walk away from that. And because we chose to walk away from it, God said, I'm giving you over to a depraved mind.
Yes.
Right.
I'm going to give you over to this mindset. I've chased you. I've pursued you. I've longed for you to be in my arms. I desire a great plan for you. I have it for you. It's here. I want you to have it. But because you refuse to step in to what I have for you and to the truth of my word, I'm going to give you over to those shameful desires in your heart. That's what he did. He gave them over to a depraved mindset, a worthless mindset is what this says. To break all the rules of proper conduct, their sinful lives became full of every kind of evil, wicked schemes, greed, cruelty. Their hearts overflowed with jealous cravings and with conflict and strife, which drove them into hateful arguments and murder. They are deceitful liars full of hostility. They are gossips who love to spread malicious slander. With inflated egos, they hurl hateful insults at God, yet they are nothing more than arrogant boasters. They are rebels against their parents and totally immoral. They are senseless, faithless, ruthless, heartless, and completely merciless. Although they are fully aware of God's laws and proper order, and knowing that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they still go headlong into darkness, encouraging others to do the same and applauding them when they do. Now, I got to stop before I get into the 2 points, and I got to say this. When I read this again and again, I had this fresh in my mind of the mayor of New York City standing there behind the podium with the legislators standing beside him applauding the full term abortion act that was just put in place in New York. Going headlong into darkness and applauding them when they do. If you ever saw a picture that fulfilled scripture, that's one of them. That's one of them. Yes, yes, we get to murder babies. Yes, innocent babies, we get to murder them right up to the day before. Listen to me how stupid this is.
Yes.
If you brought your one day old baby up here, and I took him in my hands and I smacked him across the face, I'd be in jail before my head spun around. I'd be in jail so quick. One day old baby, if I smacked him across the face, I'd be in jail. But one day prior to that, a doctor can rip that baby from the womb and murder that baby and nothing happens. And we applaud it. Oh man, my heart's beating so fast right now. I know it's Holy Spirit, but I got a holy anger right now inside of me. Listen, the Lord told me, I don't care. I really don't care because the Lord told me I'm not here to build a ministry, Bill. This is not about building a ministry. That's not what this is about. So I love you, and I prayed all week, Lord, let me speak this in love. Part of me is like, Lord, really, you want me to speak this message? But I'm not here to fill seats.
Say it.
That's good, Pastor.
Say it.
I'm here to let Jesus fill souls.
Wow.
Because listen, we could fill this place up. We could fill this place up, 1,200 people. We'd go to two services. We'd go over to the arena and have 3,500, 4,000 people sitting in the seats. But if 4,000 people are sitting in seats, but their souls are not sold out to God,
yes.
We're missing something.
Yes. That's good.
I didn't go through all that I went through.
Come on.
So that I can miss it today.
Come on.
That's right. That's right.
I don't care about fame. I don't care about fortune. I don't care if people love me. All I care about is fulfilling the call that God put in my life.
That's right.
And if I can't do that, take me now, Jesus.
That's right.
Take me now. That's where we should be. That's how we should live. This is what it's all about. Your life here on this earth is not about pre-cross.
Come on.
It's not about that. Quit looking back there. It's not about that. It's all about this side of the cross. It's all about this side, Jim. It doesn't matter if we don't have this. So two things I want you to know today. Number one is this: the old cannot be carried into the new. Or let me say it this way, the old cannot carry the new. Or how about I say it like Jesus said it, you cannot put new wine into old wineskins.
Say it, that's good.
Matthew 9:17, Jesus said, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that they both are preserved. Now there's more to this scripture than we realize. So I want to give you an illustration. Stefan, where are you at? Come on up, Stefan. Give you an illustration to show you this. I thought this was an original illustration until Ethan reminded me. He talked about it about a year ago. That's what I get for telling him about my sermon early. Come over here. You can't carry the old into the new, so this is like coming to the cross with your old man, your old woman, your old stuff. It's kind of like going to customs. This is the illustration Ethan used that I stole, but I'm going to make it mine right now. I really thought it was Holy Spirit. So you come to the cross, it's like coming up to customs, and when you come to a customs, like you're going to customs because you're not from that country and you're going to enter over into a new country, when you do that, what they do is they say, I need to see your belongings. So you take off. Anybody been to a different country where they checked your belongings? I mean, we're right next to Canada. You've been through customs a lot, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll make you pull over and they'll check your car. Anybody have that done before?
Yeah.
So they'll look in your belongings and they'll open them up right in front of you. Now listen to this. They'll open them up right in front of you. They'll go, well, what are you doing here? You got this fruit here. You can't bring this fruit into this country. This is old stinky fruit too. Man, that's nasty. Why would you even want to eat that stuff? And they're checking it and they're telling you cannot bring this stuff into the country. Now here's the thing about this is we'll try to negotiate. Like we think we're somebody.
Come on.
We'll try to negotiate and say, but I brought this fruit at the best market. I paid a lot of money for this fruit. I've got a lot invested in this. You don't know how hard I worked for this. You mean I'm going to have to leave this here in order to enter the new country? Yes. You're going to have to leave it here. You cannot bring this in with you. There could be diseases and parasites in this stuff. That is not allowed in this country. Sickness is not allowed in this country. Disease is not allowed in this country. Parasites are not allowed in this country. Pests are not allowed in this country. So no, you have to leave it here. You can't come into this country with this. And too often what people do, put this back on. So they put it back on and they walk away sad. Go, get out of here. Stay right there, though. I'm going to need you in a minute. They walk away sad. They're like, no, I've got too much invested in this. I spent too much of my life working for this. I spent a lot of money on this. This isn't going to hurt anybody. This fruit Like I said, it's good fruit. It's not that bad. It's not going to hurt anybody. Why can't I bring this in? Why can't I don't understand why I can't bring it in. I need what's in there. I need what's in that country. I got to get to this country. I need it. I'm drawn to it. I'm drawn to this side. I got to get over here. Yeah, you do. You do need to get over here, but you can't bring that in here. And it's amazing to me how in the natural, we, at some point we'll be like, okay, you know what? I can't fight this. I know it's true. I can't go in with that. I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? None of us would stand at the border of another country in customs and go, you're ridiculous. I'm coming in. Whether they would tackle us to the ground, put guns to our heads. Hello? I still got the hello. Hello?
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? And we would really be fools. Come on, at some point, common sense kicks in and you go, you know what? This is stupid. I'm arguing way too hard about this.
Come on.
In the natural.
Yes.
But in the spirit realm, we think we can break all the rules. We think that Jesus is just going to say, you're right. You know what? That was a pretty good market. You bought that. Go. You know what? You're right. I haven't let anybody else in with that, but I'm going to let you in with it.
Woo! Say it.
Because you're entitled, right?
Say it.
Yeah, I'm going to go there. You know what I'm saying? So, come on, y'all. We live in a generation. So many people feel entitled. Like, I deserve this. Why? Because I'm breathing. I know, I'm saucy today, I feel it. See, let me just go, I'm going to go to this place here. That's why it's so hard with money. That's why it's so hard with money.
Yep.
See here, on this side of the cross, you come up here. You come to this altar of the cross. And this is where we lay it all down. This is where we surrender all. All. Not some. All. Surrender all. Except my money. God, you can have everything else, but my money, I worked real hard for my money. I'm holding my behind because it's where my wallet's supposed to be, right? Just in case you're wondering, I'm not just loving myself real good this morning. I can't believe I just said that. Can we edit that, please? It's already out there. It's on the web. You're still getting it back. You can't have my money. Y'all, this blows my mind. Blows my mind that we'll trust the God of the universe with everything but our money. It's not our money. It wasn't yours before you got to the cross, and it certainly isn't yours after you passed the cross.
That's true.
Preach.
Come on.
It just does. 20% of the church should not give 80% of the tithe.
Say it.
That's true.
It shouldn't happen.
It's true.
If we are post-cross, then we all should give.
Yes.
Yes.
Here, listen, here's the problem. We want to argue with customs.
Say it.
Come on.
We want to negotiate with customs.
Come on.
We want 10%. That was in the Old Testament. That scripture. Jesus never talked about tithing. Wrong.
Yeah.
First of all, if it's in this Bible, it's Jesus, because
yes.
Jesus is the Word.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
I don't care if you clap about it, it's true. In the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was God. And the Word was with God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word came and dwelt among us in the flesh.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
This is Jesus. So if it's anywhere in here, it's Jesus.
Yes.
But actually, for those who want to argue, oh, don't argue with me about this. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says in that chapter to the Pharisees, he says, you should tithe. Then he says, comma, yes.
Yes.
You should tithe. Yes.
Come on.
Sounds like Jesus himself in the word recorded said you should tithe.
Yes.
Yes. So, I mean, but you shouldn't have to see it in red letters to say it's Jesus. It's all Jesus. The scripture I just read in Romans is Jesus. And so we can't negotiate with customs. And it's interesting how when we try to negotiate and it doesn't go our way, what happens? Listen to this. Jesus addressed this in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. And you must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and your mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all of these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, now listen to this. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. I can just see Jesus looking at him and just wanting to grab his face. Go, "Man, I love you so much. I love you so much. I want you to get this. But I know where your heart is." This is Jesus, right? He knows everything.
Yes.
"But I know where your heart is. And I know when I say this to you, this truth to you, I know where your heart is, and I know it's going to rub you the wrong way." I believe Jesus, I could see Jesus even with tears in his eyes saying this to the man. He didn't want to because he wants his heart, all of his heart. But Jesus felt genuine love and he said, "There's still one more thing you haven't done." He told him, "Go and sell all your possessions and give your money to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Verse 22 says, "At this, the man's face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions." And Jesus says this after that. He looks at the crowd and his disciples and he says, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" That wasn't a question. You see this? Exclamation point. That wasn't a question. I can see Jesus. I can hear him saying, "How hard is it? How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" He's upset. The man went away sad. He wants him in the kingdom of God. He wants his heart so much that he was about to do this in just a short time for this man. So how hard is it? This amazed them. I believe because Jesus raised his voice. I believe it amazed them. And Jesus said, "Dear children, it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Listen, what Jesus was saying was, he was not saying that you can't have money in the kingdom of God. In fact, just a little bit later in this passage of Scripture, Jesus says, if you will lay this down on this altar, if you will surrender it all on this altar, you will have 100 times what you laid down in the future life. Now listen, some people are confused because they think that scripture means in heaven. Jesus wasn't talking about in heaven. In fact, read farther down. Go home and read this scripture. He said right here, right now, in this life, you'll have 100 times. That promise that he's making us is if we'll surrender it all right here at the altar of the cross, we'll have 100 times that right here in this life. That's not including heaven. I don't know about you, but that makes good economical sense to me. Does it you?
Yes.
Give up what you have and get 100 times that? How many of you would like that? Come on, how many want 100 times? "You know, I don't care about the money. I don't need the money." It's great that you don't care about it, but come on, 100 times would be awesome. Think about what you could do for the kingdom of God with 100 times what you have right now. So Jesus wasn't saying you can't have money. He's saying just surrender it all. Let me just stick here and then I'll move on to point number two. What about sexual sins? I feel like Holy Spirit told me these two. I could talk about a lot more, but he told me money and sexual sins today is what I want you to talk about. Y'all, this is no surprise to you, I'm sure, but our world is being run over with sexual sins. And I'm not talking about just out in the world. I'm talking about in the church, too. People afraid to put their kids in children's church, in churches, because they're not sure what people might do to their children.
Yes.
Not our church. I mean, listen, I'm not saying that we're perfect, but what I'm saying is we do all kinds of background check stuff. We're super thorough, overly thorough probably, because we want to protect your children. People come to this altar of the cross and they come with these sexual sins and they don't want to surrender all. They'll surrender some stuff, but they don't want to surrender all. They think they can carry that into the new life and they can't. They can't carry that in. You can't carry it in there. The old cannot enter in. It has to die right here. I love what Dan Moeller said. Why don't you just die? Look at somebody and say, why don't you just die? That's what we're supposed to do. The Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We have to surrender it right here. It has to die right here. It can't come in. So because of that, because the line is clearly drawn, because we get to customs and that said, we don't want to go away sad. People don't want to go away sad like the rich young ruler. So we'll start saying the Bible doesn't say what the Bible says.
That's right.
Oh, it doesn't really mean that. This doesn't really mean that I can't participate in that relationship. That relationship's not hurting anyone. I know it's in the Bible several times about homosexuality. I know it's in the Bible several times about fornication. I know it's in the Bible several times about lust. I know adultery's in there, but the Bible doesn't really mean... I mean, come on. Jesus loves me. And nobody's perfect. So I can carry this into the kingdom. I can walk in this in the kingdom. Let's just take that out. Let's just rip those pages out. I told you, R-rated. The Bible does say it. In order to cross over to this country, you have to agree with this word.
That's right.
Wow. You can't take pages out.
That's right.
You can't take scriptures out. You have to surrender it all. You have to surrender it all right here. And so I've had people come into my office, and I've been doing premarital counseling for many years, and I've had people come into my office and in premarital counseling many, many times, many times. And we'll be sitting there, my first session with them, I'll say, are you having sexual relations together? Like, that's how I open it up. It's really comfortable. Yeah. Just kind of breaks the ice right there. Hi, everybody. I don't even know your names, but are you having sexual relations together? It's not true. I know their names. That's about it. And so that's the first question I ask them, because here's the thing. You're wanting me, a minister of the gospel, to perform a ceremony of holy matrimony before God, putting my stamp of approval as a minister of the gospel on your marriage. And so I take that seriously.
Come on.
I don't marry people for money. I don't care if I get paid. It's not about that. I do it for the joy of the union. But in order to do that, when I marry people, you have to go through 4 counseling sessions with me prior to your marriage. And I deal with 4 serious things. I deal with pretty important things. One of them is sex. So I ask, are you having sexual relations? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, most people are very upfront and honest, and I love that about them. And they say, yes, we are. Okay, well, if we're going to continue in this, you need to stop.
That's right. Yep.
You need to stop. You need to repent, because that's a sin. The Word of God says it's a sin. It's called fornication, and you need to quit. And so if you agree to stop having sexual relations together, and you repent, and we pray right now, and you repent of that, and you mean it, we'll continue on, and I will marry you. And that's how I deal with it. And then we continue on. And guess what? The next 2 weeks later, when they come back for session two, first question I ask them, did you have sex the last 2 weeks? Accountability, folks. Come on.
Amen. Good.
Don't think you're just going to tell me, yes, I'm going to stop and then go home and sleep together. No. I was pre-married once, too. You see what I'm saying? Here's what I'm saying. Here's the thing about it, is there are a lot of people that won't even deal with that. I've had people that have walked out of my office because they did not want to stop. They did not want to lay down that relationship and stop what they were doing. They didn't want to sacrifice it on the altar of the cross.
Right.
Well, you're just a fanatic. I can live this way in the new life. No, you can't. And yeah, you get married and it no longer will be fornication, but there's still that sexual sin in your life. There's a demonic force that is attacking you. And it'll show up somewhere else. It'll show up in adultery or pornography or something else down the line. You cannot bring it in. It cannot be carried into the new. Bible says this. The Bible says, do not be deceived. 1 Corinthians 6:9. I know I'm going a long time, folks, but just bear with me, okay? I'm going to get this done today. 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 11 says, surely you must know that people who practice evil cannot possess God's kingdom realm. Stop being deceived. People who continue to engage in sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, sexual perversion, homosexuality, fraud, greed, drunkenness, verbal abuse, or extortion, these will not inherit the kingdom, God's kingdom realm. Did you see that? Anybody who practices that and continues to engage in that will not inherit God's kingdom realm. I don't know about you, but that doesn't look like any gray area to me. It looks to me like Jesus drew a line in the sand, and it started at the cross. When he laid his life down on this cross, it meant more than you just get to get free from your sin. At that moment, it means you get to live free. You don't have to be held in bondage to that anymore. But in order to live free on this side of the cross, in order to inherit the kingdom realm of God's creation, in order to do that, you have to surrender it all right there at the cross. So this is what Father God spoke to me. I want the worship team to go ahead and come. I'll do an altar call in a second. But listen, this is what God spoke to me. Last week I was sleeping, minding my own business at 4 a.m. And God said, get up. And so I got up, I woke up, and I laid there. I'm going to tell this on myself. I know this is, I'm going to tell this. I wear a CPAP at night to sleep. Anybody wear a CPAP? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's one of those help you breathe machines, you know, talk about you taking your breath away. It's one of those breathing machines. I wear that, and it goes up in my nostrils like this right here, so I look like this when I'm sleeping. So it goes up in my nostrils, it's got this hose coming out of it. And I'm laying there, and God wakes me up. And so he wakes me up and he starts speaking to me right off the bat. He's like, get up here. He's telling me all this stuff. And so I grab my phone real fast, and I got the CPAP on, the hoses coming out. It's still blowing air. And I'm just typing away. I'm typing this. He's telling me. I laid there for an hour. A whole hour typing some things that he was giving me on my phone with this hose sticking out of my nose. Kim wakes up about halfway through. She rolls over, looks at me, and I'm just typing with the hose, and she's just laughing at me. Like, why don't you take that thing off? But I didn't want to go through the trouble. He was downloading stuff. And as he was downloading stuff, this is the interesting thing. This is what he said to me. He said, this is what I want you to tell them in the middle, before you give them point two, tell them this. So you ready for this? God woke me up to tell you this. Father God says, I know you've worked hard, but you were never meant to work for this. It's a free gift. You were never meant to work for it. It's a free gift. It's always been a free gift. From the moment I created you, it's been free. You can't earn something that's free. He's saying so many of you have come to this altar and you didn't want to give up some things in your life because you worked hard for them. You invested a lot in them. That relationship means a lot to you. God's saying, I know you worked hard, but you can't earn this. You can't. Everything that you did prior to the cross, you have to lay it down right here. Lay it down. But here's what he's going to do. He's going to give you something new. Something new that's going to be so much better. Stephen, come on out. Come on out. Where's your backpack? You're already ready to lay that down, aren't you? Jumped ahead. So what he does is he, as you take it off and he inspects it, the Lord looks at it, he says, you can't carry this in. I know you worked hard. Jesus. This is my son. 25 years old, single, needs a woman. Anybody? I'm sorry. Come here. I told him yesterday I was going to do it. He said, no, you won't. As I'm looking at him saying this, this is my son. I know where he's come from. I know what he's gone through. And I feel the heart of Jesus right now. I feel the heart of Jesus as he was looking at that rich young ruler with such compassion. I know he felt this way right now. I know you worked hard for this. I know you put a lot of effort into this. I know you cleaned yourself up real good before you came to the cross. Because that's what a lot of people do, you know. They try to clean themselves up before they come here. You don't have to. He does it all for you in one swipe. But a lot of people do that. And sometimes they want to bring that self-righteousness in. But that has to die at the cross too. Self-righteousness can't come in. The Bible says that's nothing but filthy rags. It stinks. So quit trying to bring what you did before the cross in. Quit trying to bring your good works, your good deeds in. They don't matter. So he looks in here and he goes, man, some of this stuff, I know you worked hard for this, but that's trash. Come here. I'm going to give you something new. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And all that stinky fruit can stay there. And he's going to give you new fruit. He puts his arm around you and says, I'm putting new fruit in you. I'm going to put some new fruit in your backpack. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faith, gentleness, self-control. I'm going to put all this inside here. I'm going to give it to you. Then I'm going to do this. Rodney, come here. Come here, Rodney. Come on. Run up here. Since you're matching shirts today. Then he says, I'm going to give you somebody that's going to come alongside you and wrap their arms around you, and they're going to walk with you. It's called Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He's going to go with you on this journey. So not only did I take all that old stuff from you, but I gave you new fruit, and I gave you a Comforter to walk with you. You don't need any of that stuff anymore. Everything that I'm about to give you will transform your life. And then you walk. You walk in freedom. You walk in joy. You walk in peace. And as you're walking, come on, walk with me. As you're walking, here's the thing about it. Stop right there. We get along this journey, and here's what happens. The enemy wants to keep bringing up what has already died. Come on, y'all. You know what I'm talking about? He wants to keep bringing up this old stuff that's dead. I don't know about you, but I came out of a pretty rough life before. I had some junk. Some of you don't know, I was addicted to drugs and alcohol and sexual addictions. They were terrible in my life. Horrible. They had me in such bondage. When I came to the cross, when I came to the altar of the cross, I came so broken. I had no expectations of bringing that into this life. None. I knew it all had to die. Every bit of it. I knew because the truth of God's word was embedded inside of me. So I didn't try to excuse it. I didn't try to make excuses for it or justify it. I just walked in. But here's what happened as I was walking along. I didn't learn immediately how to journey with Holy Spirit. And so because I didn't learn how to journey with Holy Spirit, the enemy kept trying to drag me back to this old lifestyle, reminding me of this old lifestyle. Here's the amazing thing about that is when you get along on this journey with God, and it's so good, but the enemy makes this look so enticing sometimes. Hello? Right? We forget, you know, we forget about hugging the toilet and puking our guts out because we got so drunk that night. We forget about how horrible that was, and all the enemy wants to show us is the glamour of that lifestyle. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody, but this is what it was for me. And I remember walking along, and sometimes the enemy would just speak and whisper these lies to me like that was so glamorous. But once I started partnering with Holy Spirit, once I let Him do His job in my life, all of a sudden, when the enemy would bring up the glamorous lifestyle of that old life, Holy Spirit would go, remember when you were puking your guts out, hugging that toilet? I'd be like, why are you bringing that up? Just think about it. They're like, oh, thank you. And this is what we're supposed to do. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Give them a hand. So the worship team is going to come here and sing in a moment, but I want to give you these last final words. I know this has been a long sermon, and I don't apologize for it. You got to go, you can go, but I got a couple more scriptures, then I'm going to end this thing up. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Jesus said this in John 13:34. He said, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. So He's going to give you all these new things because He loves you. Your Father loves you. He adores you. He made you. He wants what's best for you. And He knows just how to give it to you. But you have to trust Him. You have to trust Him enough to lay it all at the altar of the cross. You have to trust Him enough to surrender it all here. You have to trust Him enough to say, Father, listen, I haven't been tithing and giving faithfully like I should. I know what Your word says. I know it's true, but I've been rebellious to Your word, Father, and I've made excuses, and I lay it all down here. And from this moment forward, Father, I'm going to walk and as I trust You with my finances. I promise you, I love what Robert Morris says, Gateway Church. Gateway Church is just a little tiny church in Dallas, Texas. They got about 32,000 members. I love what Robert Morris says to his congregation. He says, tithe. We'll give you a money-back guarantee. You tithe for a year. You tithe for a year. And if God doesn't prove to you how faithful He is, if you don't see how good God is through your tithing, we'll give you your tithe back. I love that. I'm not making that guarantee here, but I love that. That's funny. And listen, for those of you who are sitting there judging others right now, going, yeah, you get them, Pastor Bill. You tell them about all that sin prior to the cross, that they can't carry that in. Let me just read another scripture. You know the scripture I just read in Romans chapter 1 and ended it at the end of chapter 1? Chapter 2, continuing thought. That chapter 2, verse 1 says, No matter who you are, before you judge the wickedness of others, you had better remember this. You are also without excuse. I know those people that have been in the church. I've been in the church 50 years. I don't even remember all that back there. But there's still stuff in your life. Because you failed to surrender it at the cross, or maybe you picked it up along the way and you thought you could carry it, but the Lord's saying you can't carry that in this kingdom. It doesn't belong here. That's good, baby. Thank you. A lot of people think they can carry unforgiveness in this kingdom. You can't. Jesus said this, in the same way that you forgive is how you'll be forgiven. So if you're holding unforgiveness in your heart towards someone, you're not forgiven. Isn't that what the scripture says? In the same way. A lot of people are holding that in the church, in the body of Christ, think they can walk in unforgiveness. You can't. So, this is my final thing. It really is my final thing, I promise. Look at my notes, that's it. When the Pharisees threw the woman who was caught in adultery at Jesus' feet. If you don't know this story, the Pharisees caught a woman in adultery. They brought her to Jesus to try to trap him. They threw her at his feet, with stones in their hands, ready to stone her, because that's what the law said. When the Pharisees threw the woman at Jesus' feet, ready to stone her, and asked Jesus what they should do, Jesus loved her so much, and he did not condemn her. The Bible says he didn't condemn her at all. Because in Christ, there's no condemnation. She was caught in this act of adultery, thrown at his feet to be stoned. The Pharisee said, what should we do? And Jesus said to her, this is what he said. He said, he who's without sin, cast the first stone. And the Pharisees went away sad. They went away, they dropped their stones and they went away because they knew that Jesus had them. But this is what he said to the woman caught in adultery. He said, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Do you know where she was thrown? At the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. This was her altar cross. She was thrown at the altar of the cross is where she was thrown. Think about it. She was thrown there with the intentions of the Pharisees for her to die. That's why she was thrown on the ground, so they could stone her to death. You know the truth is, she did die that day. But not physical death. She died a spiritual death. All that was in her past died right there at the feet of Jesus on the altar of the cross that day. And when she got up, she was a new creation. And as a new creation, Jesus said, go and sin no